You know, in the life of the church, we have certain celebrations throughout the year, and I had a challenge this week to either go with a Thanksgiving message, and to me, every Sunday is a Thanksgiving message, but I wanted to go with what is commonly known on this particular Sunday as Christ the King Sunday. Now, the church doesn't go according to the regular calendar that we're used to. In other words, we do not begin the new church year on January 1st, as the regular calendar celebrates a new year. We begin a new year on the first Sunday of Advent, which is next Sunday. And it's hard to believe that it's already Advent. But Christ the King Sunday is the Sunday that closes out the old church year. And it's a wonderful celebration. I thought I would stick with that this morning. It's a reminder to us, Christ the King, to ask ourselves the question that I posed to us last week during the veteran service. Whose side are we on? Are we on the side of Christ the King? Last week I equated that to as commander-in-chief. Yes, we have a commander-in-chief over us as a nation. I mentioned that, meaning the President of the United States. But there's a higher commander-in-chief, that being Jesus Christ. So Christ the King Sunday poses the question, is Jesus Lord over your life and mine? And it's good to be reminded of that. You know, this traditional observance of Christ the King Sunday, we would think that it was penned in times of antiquity, and actually it was established in most recent times. It was established, actually, by Pope Pius XI in 1925. And that's recent history, isn't it? You know, if you weren't studying the church calendar, you would think that Christ the King Sunday might have been established during the Nicene Council, or, you know, dating back to 325 rather than 25. In 1925, it was a dark period in the world. The Western world had just come in out of a terrible war, the war that they said would end all wars, and we know it didn't, World War I. However, there were also rumblings and signs at the time of another war brewing, and just around the corner, we know that war to be World War II. We were in the grip of a catastrophic period economically. Things were lean. Depression was upon us. And people were worried on several fronts in our world. There were some outspoken leaders at the time when Pope Pius was taking a look at what was going on in our environment. And these leaders were beginning to raise their ugly heads and proclaim a rhetoric that would lead to disaster. And one such leader was the Italian leader, Benito Mussolini. You might remember him. His chest was always out. Remember that? Not that you might remember it from actual period of time. Most of you probably weren't even born, But he was a proud man, and he adorned himself with glorious uniforms and headgear and so forth. And he wanted to be called El Duce, meaning the leader. Interesting character. When the Pope decided to create this holiday or this feast called Christ the King Sunday, El Duce was in power for 3 years. So the Pope had a chance to look at this man and where he was leading at least parts of Europe. And then there was another young rabble-rouser, a former German corporal in the German army during World War I. Of course, we know him to be Adolf Hitler, whose Nazi party was beginning to pick up momentum. And that was going on in the environment as well. Later on, across the ocean, in the Far East, an emperor would rise up as well in Japan. And in fact, he would be worshipped by his people, not just as an emperor, but similarly to the Roman emperor, the people of Japan worshipped Hirohito as a god. He would lead his military forces, I've read so much history on this, across neighboring countries such as China and Korea and the Philippines and other places, leaving chaos, death, and destruction in its wake, and eventually an unprovoked attack on our military forces in Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. I'm presently reading a book on the Bataan Death March. My wife tells me I need to stop reading these books. But, you know, I just love history. And I want to tell you, it made my blood boil when I started to read the accounts of how these Japanese forces and what they did to our members of service in captivity. Our men suffered terrible deprivation and torture and death at the hands of these, they saw themselves as modern day samurai to get rid of all evil that didn't agree to their objectives. Their goal, by the way, was to conquer the world. That's what Japan had in mind. They were going to eventually conquer the world, and Hitler in the West was moving in the same direction to conquer the world of Europe. And together they would control the entire planet Earth. And I want to tell you, things haven't changed too much, because I do believe, though I have no definitive proof, that today's China is leading in the same direction, to conquer the world, to take over the world. You see, forces would bow down to Emperor Hirohito. They would even go on suicide missions on behalf of their god. Try asking a United States pilot to do that and find out what your answer would be, to be a kamikaze pilot and actually fly into the crafts that were under our flag. You see, we think about history and how it repeats itself. Do you know today in modern North Korea, the people bow down and worship Kim Jong-un? He's known as the great supreme leader. His people are suffering. They can't find a meal to eat. Many of them are eating grass. Now, the last time I saw Kim Jong-un, it doesn't look like he missed a meal. But the terrible oppression that he's putting upon his people, this is not 80 years ago, this is today in our society. People of Germany were saluting Hitler. Heil Hitler! Hail Hitler! And yet in the church we sing all hail the name of Jesus Christ. But yet these people were worshiping a man who was bent on destruction and false promises of creating an Aryan perfect nation of people. An Aryan nation. Pope Pius XI saw all of this unfolding in 1925. And little did we know that his observance of what was unfolding would actually come to fruition. that things were happening that would set this world on fire, both in the East and the West. What the Pope was trying to convey by establishing this Christ the King Sunday, it wasn't just a nice thing to celebrate. He was trying to get the people focused away from what was happening around them back to Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I might add that that is the same message today as we meet in this sanctuary. To focus away doesn't mean being ignorant of what's going on around us. I'm not suggesting that we bury our heads in the sand. We need to know what's going on. But we need to also remember that Christ is above all of that, and to stay focused on Him. Amen. Case in point, the church in Germany, for the most part, remained silent while the Nazi war machine rolled over Europe and left death and destruction in its path. Rare individuals like Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer decided to speak up against that evil regime. And by the way, Dietrich Bonhoeffer paid for it with his life. He was executed as a martyr of the church. Some thought they could separate somehow their spiritual lives from the sociological and political happenings that were going on around them. And friends, you cannot separate one spiritual life from what's going on around us. We can't do that. We can't bury our heads in the sand. We need balance. But in our text this morning, when Pontius Pilate questioned Jesus of his kingdom, Jesus responded, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world." Now, if you would just journey with me a little further, let's leave 1925 and even what would happen a decade later with the Nazi regime rolling across Europe and the Far East of what was going on with the land of the rising sun taking over all of these various islands and places. And let's travel back to the Roman province of Judea, some 1900 years earlier. A region, by the way, that was also heading toward war. And once again, there were various voices competing with one another. There were military leaders, like the Emperor of Rome, who also considered himself to be a god of many gods. Then you had religious leaders, you had political leaders, and then you had charismatic leaders. You had prophets and false prophets. There was so much going on in Judea at the time that Jesus was brought before Pilate. And then there was this person called Pontius Pilate, who was the governor over that region of Judea. Now, he had a monumental task on his hands. He had to keep the lid on the people living in Judea. It was his task to make sure that no revolution would start. And so that was his job. And I would suggest that tradition paints a much nicer picture of this man than he actually was. Because listen, if you read the writings of Philo and Josephus, you will soon learn that the picture painted of the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, he was a very harsh man, a rigid man, a wrathful man, a violent man. He was corrupt and he was brutal. He was brutal. But in our text this morning, it makes him appear a little weak, a little on the soft side, a little compassionate, a little vacillating back and forth of what should I do with this man before me called Jesus of Nazareth. Remember, this is the same guy that lined the roads leading into Jerusalem with men hanging on crosses. This same guy. This guy that we read about who's vacillating. oh, what should I do with this man? Maybe we should release him. Condemning people to crucifixion was part of his job description. Could you imagine that as part of your job description? Well, let me see, how many people am I going to kill today? But that was Pontius Pilate. So Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, so you are a king? Now, he said it in a sarcastic way, believe me. You know why he said it in a sarcastic way? Because to Pontius Pilate, there was only one king. There was only one emperor. And it wasn't Jesus. It was the emperor of Rome, Caesar. Now, perhaps there was something, I don't know, I got to give a little room for the Holy Spirit. Maybe there was something that Pilate recognized, but I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. And from the text, Pilate moves back and forth between Jesus and his accusers that are outside screaming for Jesus' head. And he eventually washes his hands of the situation to excuse himself for pronouncing a death sentence over this rabbi from Nazareth called Jesus. Pilate has been very calculating in all of his decisions. He had to be. He was a political figure sent to Judea by the emperor, and he knew that his assignment had to be done correctly, or his head would be on the chopping block. First, I know from reading historical content that Pilate hated traveling to Jerusalem. It was dingy, it was dark, and he felt it was a city that was filled with religious fanatics. He said he would rather stay in his palace on the beautiful Mediterranean Sea called Caesarea Maritima. Now, I know Jennifer and my wife, and perhaps some of you have been there. It is a beautiful place. And quite frankly, if I was looking to relax, I'd rather be there than Jerusalem. And certainly, whenever Pilate had to travel up to Jerusalem, he was annoyed because he only went there during the high holy days, because if there was a chance that there was going to be a revolution and a problem, it was going to be on those high holy days. So he would go there with his army to make sure to keep the lid on everything. And that's why he was in Jerusalem that day. But whatever, what he didn't want to happen was an uprising. What we see here is two competing kingdoms, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. So what does Jesus respond? He says, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I was sent into the world to bear witness to the truth, and everyone who knows the truth will know my voice. This is what he told Pilate. What was being described here is two types of power. One power was institutional power. The other power was spiritual power. You see, institutional power is the power that Pilate had. A power that comes from the top down. We tell you what to do, and you have to adhere. Because we have the power in this institution. Mao Zedong, by the way, who started the communist revolution in China back in 1949, he said that type of power grows out of the barrel of a gun. For Pilate, it grew out of the tip of a sword. Spiritual power is something that's bestowed upon us as a gift to receive through grace, unmerited favor. I spoke about that last week. It's a gift we get from God. It's not forced upon us. It's actually given to us as a gift. Jesus said, everyone who knows the truth will listen to my voice. And following his voice above all other voices that are clamoring for our attention. And by the way, You already know this. There are a lot of voices clamoring for our attention today. Watch the news. See what's going on. It could drive you crazy. Who's right? Who's wrong? I could tell you one thing. Jesus is always right.
Amen.
He's always right. Now, let me point out that what Jesus said, when he said, "This kingdom is not of this world," he was not suggesting that his kingdom is on the planet Pluto or Jupiter. That's not what he meant. He was saying that his kingdom is not based on institutional power. Instead of the biggest and the toughest people lording over the weak, greatness in his kingdom is established by humility and the service of others. That's the kingdom that he was speaking of. It's a kingdom where the less fortunate are just as equal as the rich. It's a kingdom where children are just as precious as an adult. It's a kingdom where a blind eye is never turned on somebody who's in need. It's a kingdom where one will leave the 99 to go search for that one who needs help and give and provide help to that individual. I heard a radical person one time. He was a Christian leader. And he said that Jesus was a revolutionary. And it was to justify his revolutionary position on life. And I objected to that. I said, Jesus was not a revolutionary. But you know what? The more I thought about it, Jesus was a revolutionary. Jesus was starting a revolution. It was a revolution that would change the face of the entire earth right up to this very day. Not at the end of a barrel of a gun like Mao Zedong, or at the end of a sword such as Pilate, but rather being radically full of love, goodness, and service. Now that's radical. It was radical then, and it's radical today. Indeed, we are in this world, but we're not of this world. That is what Jesus was trying to point out to Pilate. Yep, I'm in the world, but I'm not of this world. Our Bible reading for this morning portrays a dark time in human history. 1925 and the decade following was also a dark time when Pope Pius XI established this celebration that we celebrate this morning, Christ the King Sunday. I think in many ways we're still in dark times, friends. Post 9/11 shook our world to its very core, and I believe we're still shaking in its aftermath. But we're called to continue to take our stand with Christ, holding fast to the truth and declaring our allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what Christ the King Sunday means for me. Christ is King. That is our proclamation this morning. And friends, I pray that is our proclamation every single day, either until he returns or we go to be with him in this life and when this life comes to an end. Why? Let me tell you why. We're King's kids. We're kids of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why. Amen. Amen. Amen.